All right, guys, welcome back. We are relaunching The Crunch, which was our very original podcast where we used to chat to some of WA's best agents. We then moved to Off Market, where we had Shane Beaumont, Ross Hunter, and myself chatting about the market every couple of weeks. So this is a bit of an amalgamation of the two. We're going to be talking to some of WA's best real estate agents each month, and we're also going to be talking about the what's happening in the market with some industry experts. We have brought back Shane and Roscoe as our co-hosts because we need some expert opinions each week on the show. Roscoe and Shane, welcome back to The Crunch.
They obviously couldn't get anybody else, mate.
Unemployment rate is very low.
Yeah. So this is getting the band back together, Jess.
Yeah.
What band would we be?
Oh, God.
That's a good question, mate.
We'll have to come up with them. People can maybe let us know what they think.
Are we like Foo Fighters or...
I think we're like the Venger Boys.
The Venger Boys. Okay.
You guys have had some changes, updates since we last saw you, because Off Market, when was our last episode? Was probably about 18 months ago.
Yep.
It's been a while.
Yep.
Shane, do you want to kick us off? You've had some big changes going on. What's been going on?
I've got bigger bags under my eyes because I've just got a 1.5-year-old. Which has been great, but one thing I have learned is, again, amazing respect for a lot of the mums out there in the industry, how they manage to do it, because obviously I've got a beautiful wife that helps, but how they manage to carry both roles as an agent and a stay-at-home mum or agent, it's a full-time job, so a lot of respect there. I obviously changed agencies. A part of my change, really wanted to go into growth mode. It was a one-man band for quite a while, and to me, obviously, real estate's great, but looking to go into that team phase where I actually I've just brought on a buyer manager, which I should have done many years ago.
Yes.
Probably the perfectionist in me, the control I like to keep. So I put trust in a great person, which has come on board, which is really exciting. And probably the move to work with Sean at Realmark is probably down the model where he's obviously already at. He's got that leverage of having the team. Mm-hmm. So it's sometimes good to plug in and see how different teams work and how you can make that work for yourself. So that was really good, really exciting. And we've got another guy out that way, Shabar, who's going nuts. So everything's going really well in that regard. And also a part of bringing someone on to have a bit more lifestyle, which I'm trying to do.
Beautiful.
Trying. COVID didn't help. hopefully be able to have a few more trips. Love my work, but really important, obviously, to be more present when around the family.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would like to chat to you guys down the track, and maybe not today, but obviously you've made the move to Realmark, but there are some shifts. There have been a lot of shifts with people opening their own agencies, going out on their own, making moves to different agencies. And I wanted to get your opinion on when the market's hot, why do people kind of, obviously people go out on their own, and then a lot of them get a rude shock as to selling real estate is very different to running an agency. Mm-hmm. So that is a topic that we might cover down the track. But before then, Roscoe, do you want to give us a bit of an update on where you're at?
Yeah, it's been a sort of a big 18 months, Jess, for, you know, obviously the market and COVID and all the things we've had to juggle in between. But our big thing is obviously we bought that the business 2.5 years ago, so it's been a big job sort of turning somebody else's business into our business, physically, culturally, and all those type of things. And you can't do it overnight. And it's like any change program, I think sometimes these are the desire and the tendency to want to bring all the changes into place, but you know, too much change tips it upside down. So we've had to integrate change slowly. And some of those big changes have been we physically stripped the business out and did a complete refit. And one of the things of the refit was not just new, you know, tables and chairs and all the rest of it, was trying to have a refit that actually matched the purpose and the values of our business. Those things in particular are our purpose is for a better life, and our values is we, not I. And the purpose is really important to us because we wanted our business to reflect, or the physical premises to reflect something that when people get there, it's as close to, because we all use the adage, oh, it's our work home. Mm. And sometimes we'll say we spend more time at work than we do at home. So we wanted to have a place that when people are there, they do to as best as possible feel like they've got a home environment. And I think we've pretty much achieved that. So that was a major thing. Also during the middle of COVID, trying to do all that. So we've done that. And the other thing is, like to Shane's point, and even to what you touched on there, just about people moving and so forth, it's making sure as a business owner and business leader, you're keeping your business relevant. Because I think one of the big kickers of why people peel off and do things is the business that they currently work in is no longer relevant to their level of performance. Mm-hmm. I think it's a challenge, but I think it's something you've got to continually strive for as a business owner. Even as a top salesperson, you go, I look at my business, if I haven't fundamentally changed some significant things in my business in the last 12 months, it really means I'm losing relevancy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something people don't talk about and think about enough.
Mm-hmm.
And as a business owner, you've got to drive that, because otherwise you do lose people, because they look around the corner and go, they're more relevant to take me to the next level.
Yeah.
So that's been a big driver in our business.
Yeah.
And too often when they realise it's too late.
Mate, people vote with their feet.
They say it's slowly, suddenly.
Yeah.
The reality is sometimes you're so busy doing what you do, you probably don't keep your ears pricked, which I think is important why people like yourself sometimes don't want to be in business by yourself, because you don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
But collectively, try and surround yourself with people that bring different attributes to the table. And I think that way you can, again, you pick up on those vibes.
Yeah, you should never be the smartest person in the room. As a real estate agent, I think, well, a lot of agencies and real estate businesses are run by agents, and they've started a business because they were good reps, and that doesn't necessarily mean they're good business, people.
There's
so
a great skill set they bring to the table,
but it's not every skill set
you require.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
You look at, I know we're sort of off topic a little bit, Jess, but sort of what Shane and I do.
Standard.
But you look at, like, Shane's move to Sean Hughes. Now, Sean and I, as you know, have had a working relationship for a decade now. And one of the things that Sean did that was really smart in the beginning, I remember when I first met Sean, he was fully immersed in 100% that salesperson mentality, didn't really know much what was going on in and around his business. He then started to surround himself with people that could look at it from different angles and different levels, basically a brains trust to then help sort of evolve that whole business to where it is today. And you've got to do that. And as Shane said, no one's got all the answers. And you've got to bring in the right people.
Yeah.
And just, and really, in that, to me, it's just so you stay relevant.
Yeah.
100%.
Beautiful. I love that, guys. I love the little meandering conversations that we have. Very informative. We are going to go straight to what's happening in the market in real estate at the moment. Obviously, the big news and the big everything, all the headlines are around interest rates and basically the effect on the market. So I want to quickly throw to you guys, Perth is one of two, or WA is one of two states at the moment that's still on an upward trend. Us and SA, everywhere else is kind of falling. Are we going to see the downward trend that the East Coast has seen?
You can go, Ross.
Okay.
Right. Ross, go.
Look, my opinion is, before I go there, I just want to rewind the tape on a few things around what we've filmed in the past. I remember a particular Christmas episode, which would be Christmas 2020.
It was probably episode 18
of market, and I bravely, it is on camera, I did say the Perth market is going to experience a 30% growth over the next 18 months. And in the room at the time, there's a lot of oohs and ahs, and no, that's not going to happen. I was pretty much thrown to the lion's den. I've been the humble person I am.
You've only mentioned it on every episode since.
Well, it's been a while. I just had to put it back in. Well, it's a question, Jess. But
I think I said the same thing in July.
Yeah.
15th.
Yeah. I just need to keep that on point. Okay. So where I see things, Jess, is like we were saying before, is yes, there's all the conjecture about what's going on, what isn't going on, and everybody's an expert all of a sudden. To me, if you strip it away from interest rates and the market itself, I go back to the core drivers of our market that's always been there and will probably always be there. It's all about employment. Because when people are employed, they have security around their income. They will keep making decisions, capital purchasing decisions, be it new cars, be it houses or whatever. And we all know at the moment there are more jobs than there are people. So whilst people have got security around income, and Western Australia is probably one of the most secure employment places on the planet, not just Australia, whilst that's in play and people feel security in that space, they will keep making decisions in spite of interest rates. So to me, it's old school, but to me, if I had to choose one thing to look at, the minute the employment thing flips, then that's another conversation. But at the moment, that's all still well and truly in check. Away we go.
Shane, you're on the ground, obviously, all the time, talking to buyers, talking to sellers. What have you seen from them on the ground? Are they concerned? Are they pulling back?
So I guess there's a couple of things. In the news, which is obviously national about the news, what people forget is WA only makes up about 15% of the total market around Australia. So it's quite easy to say, oh, you're not talking about WA enough. But the reality is it's such a small section, but that section is firing. And many Eastern States people are now saying in their reports, which is probably a lot later than what we said, where else in the country would you want to live? For the main reasons, if you're a plumber in WA, you're probably earning more, if not the same as Sydney, but the same house in the median house price suburbs is sort of 1.5. So interest rates over there are taking a big effect. Now, WA, whilst we had a decline for so long, it was every month 1.8% fall, 2% fall, 1.89. So we didn't just feel pushed off a cliff, it just kept sliding. The difference is there, it's been that cliff turnaround.
Yeah.
For main reason, a lot of people, basically the affordability factor is taking a crunch. Inflation is there. I've never actually quite experienced or seen it as blatant as what it is at the moment, because it is everywhere. But the interest rates factor hasn't affected WA yet. And all the guys buying over, so 50% of my inquiry at the moment, 50%, and almost 50% of our sales are Eastern States based.
Yeah, right.
Now these aren't Scrooge McDuck, 900 properties, swimming in their money sort of owners. A lot of these are first home buyers that say, look, well, I've got to get in somewhere.
Right.
So I'm going to buy my first investment property. Forget my first homeowner's grant. I'm going to get into the market. It's mum and dads realizing that one's a school teacher, one's an engineer. Now, they can't buy another $1.8 million property, but they could probably buy a $400,000 property renting for $500 a week. So it's a no-brainer. So interest rates haven't taken effect yet. So a lot of agents bashing owners saying you should take this offer because interest rates, I don't agree with that. But what owners need to understand is at the moment, if you can imagine, just say 100 people earning 200,000, the reality is right now they might be able to borrow $1 million. In 6 months time, they're probably going to be able to borrow 925. So the pool of buyers at the top, the higher you go, you get smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
It's harder to get growth when there's less buyers. The reason Western Suburbs had that 30% is because all of a sudden, everyone could afford a $2 million home. Not everyone, but relatively.
A much bigger pool of people.
Interest rates being so low and everyone's having bumpy years, money being thrown at them. It's only natural. Everyone wants to live in the best suburb they can afford. I expect that to cool, still remain strong just because it's probably just got to settle.
Yeah.
So I'd expect at least growth this year. I just don't think it'll be as fast tilt as what it was previously, because reality is properties can't, and Justin Davies said this exactly right when we were in his office. Property prices can't be down for 20 years.
Yes.
No.
Okay. It's a barometer, not a thermometer. It'll just go up and down the spot. It actually does move. So I think there's really good outlook. But if you're thinking you're going to get 20, 30% every year, it just doesn't work like that. But it is a great time to be buying. You've got no better insurance policy than the rents. They are not slowing down. That's what
I was going to ask about rental affordability. Obviously, it's continuing to decline. What are you seeing the impact of that? Are you seeing more tenants trying to come into the market, or?
Trent Fleskins, who's got a great podcast, obviously a lot of media coverage, he summed it up well. When they're saying about the affordability, it's not unaffordable. It becomes less affordable, but it's not unaffordable in WA. Eastern States, I think that's a bit different. But if you put it in the fact, the wage growth in many sectors, tradesmen, what they're earning, interest rates, okay, and the rental market, they're all moving together.
Yeah.
It's not like wage growth hasn't happened. If you're a brickie 3 years ago, you're earning a lot more today.
Yeah.
In fact, if you align up what your rent went up compared to that. So I don't think it's unaffordable, it's less affordable. It's probably a better term to use.
No, it's absolutely right. You know, the whole thing about the rental market, I guess, you know, if you look at it from the other side of things, is, you know, looking down the track, there's lots of media about if they change the Tenancy Act and, you know, how many people will sell, because they don't, you know, owners will sell, there's going to be less of a pool out there and so forth. So now who knows? I know that when there's sweeping changes, yes, people say things, but what they do is sometimes very different. But at the end of the day, it comes down to if they can't, in many instances we've seen, it's cheaper to own that property than it is to rent it. So you're seeing people migrate from being a tenant into an owner because they can actually buy the same property for the same price, if not less. So it's sort of, there's an equilibrium out there to some degree.
And on the back of that, a lot of people, which isn't in the media, there's never been more money thrown at people trying to get into the market. Mm. The single, just this week alone, we had two people pop up that were in good jobs, didn't quite have a big enough deposit, and they've managed to get under the single parent scheme.
Mm.
These sort of things, they weren't around.
Yeah.
So you've just got to understand, if you are the media, they're going to hype it up, which is what they do. No one's to read, oh, the market's fair. It's always up or down.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are getting into the market, I think it's a really good opportunity to make the most of these schemes, save your, you're saving on your, what's it called, the LMI, these sort of things, might be 10, 15,000. Take that opportunity, because if you're not getting a tap on the shoulder today about the rents, it won't be far away.
Yeah.
And I think it might get away from us this time.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the thing is, a third of Australian property is owned by investors. So a third of Australian property is there for rentals. A third of new properties in New Zealand are rented. Mm. So, and that figure for the last 50 years hasn't actually changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it probably will. So it's I agree with what Shane said. I think at the moment, it's making sure that, like, from an owner's point of view, is that, you know, you can put up the rents, but also make sure you're investing back in your property, so you're getting quality tenants, and that'll actually give you the opportunity to have, you know, long-term tenants. And I know there's all the proposed changes to the to the Tenancies Act. The one thing, and some of the owned properties, we're always reinvesting in our properties. And I think one of the things that does create issues out there when you get owners that just will not reinvest in their properties. So I think some of the changes are not a bad thing, because you want, and as somebody that has a rent roll, you know, the problematic properties, you know, they cost you money to manage, because the owners won't reinvest, and you've got complaints, and they're the minority that affect the majority. So, you know, it's
one thing I'm also seeing, again, the media saying, and you hear the people calling and saying this is what's happening on rent. I can honestly say a lot of our clients that are owning properties aren't going the full tilt of what they could get in the open market with the current tenant in place.
Yeah.
So whilst you're seeing these big growths, just be mindful, if you're a good tenant, get on the front foot, look after the property, speak, have communication with the owner. So I'd like to extend, two of mine have come up, I haven't actually put them up. Because I've got no issues.
There's no reason to.
Everything's great.
Yeah.
But it's only natural, if it does become vacant and I go back to open market, what idiot's not gonna say, well, if I can get 600, I'll get 600.
Yeah.
But the reality is, if you've got tenants in place, they're not seeing these big jumps that you're hearing a lot about. And if an owner wants to do that, well, if they work out what they're going to get back in their pocket, the potential 2 weeks vacancy, the letting fees, they're probably not ahead anyway. Tenants are really good. You want them on your side, but I think communication needs to probably be improved. And not this big, I guess, the media circus around every owner being this big multi-millionaire with 80 properties.
It's
just not the case.
No. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I've got mums and dads that have got investment properties that don't have enough to replace curtains at the moment. You know, like, so it's not quite what people think.
No.
You know?
Yeah, but I think your point's really relevant, Shane, that as a tenant, the best insurance you have of keeping out of that really steep price increases, treat the house like the home and look after it.
Yeah.
And then people say, I don't want to jeopardize a great tenant.
But again,
for $30 a week.
Surely, and again, the media hypes things up, but surely the majority of the tenants are those people, are they? Or no?
Oh, yeah, ish.
Ish.
Getting better. They're on much better behaviour.
Yeah.
Because they know.
Yeah. Getting through properties that are tenanted, it's not easy at the moment, because the threat of, oh, I'm going to get kicked out. So it's really like,
we're seeing a lot of vacant properties.
Yeah.
A lot of vacant properties coming onto the market.
Yeah.
We've just got to, like, we really have to break that barrier down when we speak to a tenant to go, hey, you're not getting kicked out tomorrow. Like, realistically, 50% chance going to be an investor. This is your audition.
Yeah.
To stay on.
Yeah.
Help me help you and you'll probably stay on.
Yeah.
But that's probably the biggest challenge I've noticed the last 6 months is just getting through. But with tenants.
Yeah.
Once you get them on side, they understand the lay of the land. But I think when they, again, see the news, I understand probably why they're a bit
upset. Yeah, I think that's the thing. They see the horror stories and they feel fear, which, you know, is understandable.
Which comes back to the responsibility of everybody in the industry or the agencies, you know, having, as you said, the word communication, having better communication channels with tenants, better communication channels with owners, you know, which is, you know, you look at that whole rental market, the biggest issue that's always sat there is that most of the time there's communications when something's gone wrong. It's sort of flipping that on its head, and you'll have a better sector in the industry.
Absolutely. Guys, we're going to wrap it there because I think that was excellent. Great information from you guys, as always. I've really enjoyed getting the band back together. The Venga Boys.
Look forward to it.
The Venga Boys.
We'll think of something better. Someone can tell us what they think.
Feels
about
very
that.
Much like recording studio. Was it Womack and Womack?
I don't know that reference.
Reminds me of Baby View. Wait, you see the film clip? This is what I'm staring at.
Oh, really? So, I'll have to look that one up. I would love people to send in topics that they would like to hear about from you guys, because obviously the majority of our audience is real estate agents, maybe, you know, some of the general public, but also agents. So there are topics that may be of interest. I know long service leave is a huge thing getting talked about at the moment that I'm sure you guys have opinions on, and different bits and pieces. So if you hear of topics, if our listeners have topics they'd like us to talk about, let us know. We'd love to hear about it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks so much.
We're back.
Thanks, Jess.
Chat to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.